And Education Minister Helen McEntee is with us. And Minister, I know you're here to talk about the new Leaving Cert reform programme, but I want to start with the issue you were taking leaders' questions on in the Dáil yesterday. And Sinn Féin raised the controversy over unnecessary hip operations on children. There's been an audit of 561 cases from 2021 to 2023. But families claim there are many more cases going back to 2016. There could be thousands affected, the Dáil heard yesterday. So is there going to be a wider audit for a longer time frame?
Firstly, Anna, could I just say to any parents listening who are concerned that their child might have been impacted by this or that there might be an issue, can I reassure them that the Minister for Health, working with the government and the HSE, is not just engaging with the parents that we know of now, but there's a separate body of work being done to see, is there more that we need to do? Are there potentially more children impacted here? But I have to maybe take it back a step. There is a review underway at the moment to see whether or not children were operated on when they shouldn't have been. And I mean, look, we're all and as a parent of two small children, I'd be absolutely horrified at the thought of my child or any of my children being operated on when they don't need to be or when they didn't need to be. So we need to understand, has this happened? Has it happened to any children? Not just in the time frame that you've mentioned, but beyond that, if it has, why? Who is responsible? How do we rectify this? How do we make sure this doesn't happen again?
So is because that an audit or a scoping exercise that's going on?
So there's an audit happening at the moment. That's actually underway at the moment. We've had an interim report. There's a separate body of work looking at whether or not this potentially goes back further, whether or not this potentially has to expand further. But this is being done. The Minister is absolutely committed to making sure that we undercover, has anything happened here? If it has, how do we support families and parents? How do we rectify it? And I mean, look, we've seen earlier on this week, and I was also asked about the fact that three small children had devices essentially put into their body
the
that were not medical grade.
Absolutely.
And you will see from the report from HICWA that those actions are being acted on immediately, that we have somebody stepping down from the chair of the board, that the minister's engaging with the HSE, and that those actions are being moved on immediately to make sure that the families first and foremost are supported, that those who are responsible for these types of actions, that they're held accountable, but that if there are procedures that are not being followed in hospitals, if we need to make changes, that that happens absolutely immediately. So I really want to reassure families that we are acting, that we are doing everything that we can to identify, are there problems here? Do we need to make changes? And the Minister will not hesitate to make further changes and to do anything more that she needs to do in this regard.
But it's not reassuring for families when they're seeing stories that the previous Minister for Health was told about these reports of claims of unnecessary operations last year, but the families were only written to this week.
So if you look at the timeline, so this was brought to the attention of the HSC, then to the department. The Minister then acted in terms of instigating a review. So it's going to take time, obviously, to identify, well, who are the families, who are the children, how do we identify them and write out to them? So just to assure families, obviously, those that have been written out to, this review is happening, it's underway. I hope it will conclude shortly. Anybody else that may be affected by this, there is a separate body of work to see, do we need to go back further? Do we need to look at more records? Do we need to go wider out? We will not leave any stone unturned here to make sure that we are satisfied that everything is being done right.
And you mentioned the Board of Children's Health Ireland, who've been at the centre of all of this. The chair of that board has resigned following the scoliosis report. Marie Sherlock from the Labour Party has called on the whole of the board to resign. HSE Chief Bernard Gloucester is against that for the moment. What's your opinion?
So if we have no board, you can't make any progress here. So this board is obviously instrumental to the investigations underway here. And I think it's only right that the chair has stepped down. But this board is also responsible for the Children's Hospital. I mean, we obviously know that there's been significant delays in that regard. We want the hospital to open as quickly as possible. We've recommendations that have come out of the HICWA review into the three operations that I've mentioned on the small children. We need those implemented, the recommendations as quickly as possible. We need a board to do that. But let's be clear here. Well, if we remove the board, it'll take time to replace it. But let's be clear here. Minister Carol McNeill has said if anything further needs to happen, she will not hesitate to make changes. But we need a board in place for all of the reasons that I've outlined, to make sure changes are implemented, to make sure the Children's Hospital can be opened, that we have accountability and people have to be held accountable here.
So getting to your new brief now in education, Leaving Cert reform, you're determined to press ahead, you say, and this would be 40% of the programme being non-written exams. The two main teachers' unions are asking you to hold off. You say you're pressing ahead. You can't go very far, though, without their cooperation.
Well, firstly, can I say this was agreed 10 years ago that we'd make changes to the Leaving Cert. And the reason for this, as you've just outlined, it's to take the huge amount of stress away from students. We all remember the Leaving Cert. It all comes back to an exam that you take towards the end of the 2 years. And if you do badly, if it's a bad day, if something happens, you have no way of recouping it. You might be one of the subjects where you have a practical, as I had, whether it's music or art or others. What this change means is that for every student, for every subject, you will have a chance throughout the year to engage in other types of skills. So not just the exams, that you will have critical thinking, you'll be working in groups, that there's additional assessment components, analysis. So it makes it more rounded and it tests different skills, but also takes that pressure off. When it comes to the unions, and I suppose they're representing teachers, teachers are there to support students. And what they've said very clearly to me from the outset is they support this change. So it's not that people don't want it to go ahead. They have concerns, you know, whether it's around training, whether it's about making sure that we have enough resources. And I am working closely with them to make sure that students, that teachers, that schools have exactly what they need come September. And we've been engaging with them over the last number of weeks. And in fact, I met just with the INTO and the ASTI yesterday and have asked them to engage in even further intensive talks with me to see what more I can do.
When will those talks start?
They've started already. So there's been engagement over the last number of weeks, but as recently as this week and straight away next week as well, we're meeting with them. But it's important to stress that there's a lot of work has been done. So for the 73,000 students that are starting their Leaving Cert and going into fifth year this year, you've 26,000 teachers have already started training on subjects like science, business. You have other smaller subjects that are starting this year, Arabic, Latin and a few others. You have papers that were released just this week. So we've released double the amount of exam papers or sample papers than that would normally be the case. And they've been released much earlier than would normally be the case. There's money has been provided for science labs in particular. So the three science subjects are the ones that are being rolled out
first. So they're great plans. But I mean, you know yourself, an awful lot of secondary school students, they have their phones. They're going to go home and look up AI. And that's what project work is going to turn into. How do you guard against that?
So I think everybody knows AI is here to stay. So no matter what you do, whether we pause it till next year, whether we pause it for 5 years, AI is here and it's already part of the work that children do in school.
Is it an argument to pause, though, this pressing ahead with, you know, the amount of project work you're building into the syllabus?
No, and I'll tell you why. There's already a guidance there that was issued by the State Exams Commission in 2023 setting out how students can use it. So we're not saying don't use it, you can't use it, it's bad. We're saying how do you use it? How do you learn from it? On top of that, my department, still working with the State Exams Commission, will issue further guidance to work with teachers, to work with students, to work with schools, to make sure that they can use it, but that they're using it in the most effective way possible and that they are learning. So technology is here to stay. Students will tell you themselves, because it's not just the teachers' unions I meet, but I also meet with the students' unions, and they're saying it's part of their schoolwork, it's part of their life. Help us use us and work with us. But, you know, there's not a person I've met, including the unions, whether they're representing teachers, principals or students, who don't want this to go ahead. It will benefit students in the long run. So my job is to make sure that they're all supported so that this is a success.
You're joining Social Protection Minister Dara Cailleary and Public Spending Minister Jack Chambers today for an announcement about the expansion of the Free School Meals programme. Now, HSE obesity lead Dr Donal O'Shea wants the scheme re-evaluated. He said on Katie Hannan it should be re-evaluated before being expanded. He's talking about things like sausages and potato cubes, pasta carbonara with high saturated fat and processed meat. This is not healthy food that you want children to be eating if you want to tackle obesity, is it?
Firstly, can I just say this is a really positive announcement today, and I'll be joining my colleagues Dara Cailleary and Jack Chambers, where 713 new schools will now be in receipt of hot school meals. So by this September coming, you'll have almost 500,000 children who are going to be fed when they go to school. And as Minister for Education, one of my key goals and objectives...
Are you happy with the quality of what they're eating? Because a lot of parents are not happy with it, and they're not happy with the waste of what's coming home.
Well, can I just finish my point? Because the whole point of this is to make sure that we equalise the situation for children when they come into school. And one of my key objectives is to make sure that any child who's at an educational disadvantage, that we protect them and that we support them. And already St Vincent de Paul is saying that because we've introduced hot school meals and school meals into certain schools, children are coming to school, they have full bellies, they're able to learn, they're not at as much of a disadvantage. So that, number one, is a huge plus. Secondly, there's a huge amount of positivity that's coming back to me from parents and from schools in this, but we need to make sure it's the best it can be. And that's why Dara Cailleary has said there will be a review around nutrition. He's asked a nutritionist from the Department of Health to take this on, and they will come back in September, because we just need to improve it. We need to make sure it's the best it can be. But already the benefits that we're seeing are absolutely phenomenal. As I said, there are children coming to school who are able to learn now that wouldn't have been able to before this was introduced.
Karen Creed is here with the news headlines, but before I go to her, Minister, I want to ask you about the parents of children with special needs. There was a recent sleep out at the department, as you'd be aware. Now, there were 126 children without school places last September, according to the Children's Ombudsman's Office. How many are still without a place? And are you going to use your powers of compellability to make sure those children who are entitled to go to school get to school?
That is my number one goal, that every single child has a place that they are entitled to come this September and now. I've been working every day for the last number of weeks with my colleague, Minister Michael Moynihan. We've been meeting with the National Council for Special Education multiple times a week. And as of today, of the 400 new extra classrooms that we've committed to, 399 of those have been sanctioned. The remainder, I will move with the Section 37A. If I have to, I don't want to have to do that. But we have to make sure that every child has a school place. What needs to happen now is those classrooms that are sanctioned, with the addition of the classrooms that are freeing up that naturally happen every year, there'll be 3,900 new places for children with additional needs that are being provided for this September. We know through the National Council for Special Education there's 3,275 children who need those places. So as far as I'm concerned, there is absolutely no reason as to why every single child won't be supported. Most importantly, it has to be in the place that's appropriate for them. And we know what's supportive of one person is different for another. So that's why we have special school places, special classroom places, as well as support and mainstream for children.
But this, and one final question on this, because this is an issue, for instance, St Malachy's Senior School in Finglas in Dublin, it's a DESH school, but they're concerned that by opening two special classes, which they did, they had to tell the children's charity Bernardo's, which was renting a classroom, to move on, and there was a creche that also had to move on, so that, you know, one set of kids is getting displaced to get the needs of another.
Children have to have a school place. That is my number one priority, and there is an absolute need in that area. So I do want to acknowledge and thank all of the schools who have worked with us. And, you know, I'm not saying it's straightforward. I'm not saying it's easy. But children have to have a place to go to school. They have to be able to go to school in their community, where their siblings are going, where their peers and their friends are going. We're working with schools to make sure that there is as little impact as possible. But my number one priority and goal has to be that children, first and foremost, have a place in school. And that's been the focus here.
Education Minister Helen McEntee, thank you for joining us.